If you'll help him, you'll get more out of it. And he'll preach a whole lot better. Amen. I love you. Appreciate you. Amen.
It's a joy to be here this morning. This microphone feels different. I don't know how it feels with the rest of you. I'd rather put it on you than have it on me. But I'll do what God's touched my heart with. And this means so much to me. Camp meeting means so much to me. I can remember when I started, when Dad was here, they asked me to do what I'm doing, and I've always been sort of nervous, and I was really nervous. Couldn't even count the money. I was so nervous and shook up, and I still am to a certain extent. But I am glad to know somebody bigger than me. And I am glad that he's able to help us in our extremity. And I'm glad that we're marching to a better country. And I'm glad to know that he has it all in hand. And he'll do that for us as we look to him in these days. John's Gospel, chapter 20. I was between two messages trying to get the right direction. And matter of fact, you can't hook up the Word of God wrong anyway. It works on all occasions and in all places. John's Gospel, chapter 20. I'm going to give you three simple thoughts concerning Mary Magdalene. In verse number 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Drop down to verse number 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have lain him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou had borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Amen. Jesus saith unto her, I don't know if he's ever called your name, but if he does, and if he has, you'll recognize him. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren. Always like terms of endearment. Amen. Beloved, brethren. If you don't know it and recognize it, you should know it and you should recognize it. You're among brethren. You're among family. We're in it together. We should love each other as Christ loved us. That is a new pattern. And some Christians that I know haven't adopted the new pattern. Not our love, but as Christ loved us. I worry about some people that can't love right. If you can't love right, you ain't got love hooked up right. And the only reason that I can love right is because he loved me and put his love in me and made a difference in me. And there's a new pattern of love as he has loved us. Mary Magdalene loved the Lord. I like the brethren. And say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. There are several things about Mary Magdalene, that three specifically this morning I want to give you. But there's a lot of things that have been said about Mary Magdalene. There's three things that we know about Mary Magdalene. She was there at Jesus' death in chapter 19, verse 25. Now, while many of his disciples hid and other followers watched him from a distance, Mary was right at the foot of the cross. Now, I will say to you this morning, if you're following Christ at a distance, why don't you move up close? Why don't you get close to him? Why, I'll use a big term, it's not Greek, but it's close. Why would you hobnob around on God? Why don't you be fully committed to him? I mean, why this morning wouldn't you be in love with him, the lover of your soul? Why wouldn't you have the right type of love for him? Why follow at a distance? Why drift away from God? Why don't you move up close? Mary Magdalene, we know this about her. She was there at Jesus' death. Also, she was there at Jesus' burial. Mark 15:47. While everyone else trickled away, Mary Magdalene followed Joseph and Nicodemus to the garden too. We know there's a lot of things we don't know about Mary Magdalene. There's a lot of things that have been said about Mary Magdalene. But this we do know, that she was there at his death and she was there at his burial. Also, in these verses that we just read, she was there at his resurrection. Mary Magdalene was the first person to see the risen Christ because of her relentless devotion to him. Mary, it seems, is the only one that maybe witnessed all three of the gospel truths: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. What about your devotion this morning? She had relentless devotion to the Master, to Jesus, and we're ready to throw in the towel when it gets hot or when it gets cold or when something happens. May we love him. May we walk with him. May we worship him. May we serve him with a smile. As God's people, she saw, she was there, Jesus' death, his burial and resurrection. Three things. Notice her creed in verse number 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. You say, well, what's her creed? Her creed at the tomb: Mary Magdalene was weeping, manifested her great unbelief. That was her creed. Now you say, oh my. Now she shouldn't have done that. She shouldn't have been that way. Well, my. You ever been that way? Well, don't believe that God's going to show up, come through, rescue, do for you what you think? I'm telling you this morning, her creed here at the tomb, of course it's going to change, her creed was unbelief. And by the way, she wasn't alone in her unbelief. The disciples didn't believe either. I don't know what's wrong with your unbelief, but you ought to let go of it. However, Christ had told these women and the disciples plainly and repeatedly about his resurrection, and it hadn't dawned on them yet. They hadn't got it figured out yet, but they will. That was her creed. Matter of fact, he's told us a lot of things too. We ain't got it figured out. We're sort of in a daze. We're very undiscerning. But the Lord can help us with it. He's a coming back. And I will tell you what he says he will do, that is exactly what he will do. And whether you accept it, believe it, or receive it, it's going to happen. He's going to do it. Her creed, her condition. This may be your condition. In verses 11 through 15, I won't read all of those. You can read them. But I'll give you her condition. She was unhappy. You know what? I've never seen so many Christians that are so unhappy. I mean, my gracious sakes alive. Now, I know there's a difference in happiness and joy, but she was unhappy. And she was unresponsive. I'm telling you, that's a bad place to be. Knock me over, preacher. You ain't going to move, which we can't move you anyway, but the Holy Ghost can. You know, just unresponsive. Fold your hands. Well, I'm in camp. It's the same old stuff. I don't think anybody's saying that. It's good stuff, isn't it? I mean, it's good stuff everywhere. She was unhappy. She was unresponsive. And she was undiscerning in verse 14 and 15. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. She was undiscerning. You know what? We're guilty of that too. We better ask God to give us wisdom in the days that we're living. I'm not interested this morning in man's ways. I'm not interested at all. I'm interested in what God has to say and how God will lead us. He'll lead us in a dark world. He'll lead us in the light and in the way and in the truth. And it's a joy to walk with Him. When unbelief grips your heart, it will not only bring sorrow, but it will also bring spiritual blindness. There standing in front of Mary was her beloved Savior. Matter of fact, you might have missed Him too. Maybe on a many occasion. Don't miss Him around here. Run right into Him. I mean, come on to Him. Don't miss Him. It brought her unbelief. It brought spiritual blindness. Lastly, her conversation. Her conversation. Verse 15, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Her conversation. Christ began the conversation with two questions. He asked her about her sorrow. Now, I want to remind you this morning, there's a lot of folks that have went through sorrow. And I'll just help you out a little bit. If you've never been where they're at, be careful what you say. If you've never walked in the same shoes, please don't say, bless God, if that was me, this is what I would do. Because you don't know what you would do. But I am glad to report to you there is one. There is one that is concerned about your sorrow. Matter of fact, if no one else is, as long as He is, we can make it. But I will tell you, we ought to be concerned too when people hurt. When my people hurt at the church, I think it's biblical. Weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Her conversation, he asked about her sorrow and he asked about her seeking. What are you seeking this morning? I don't think anybody went by the convenience store and tried to hit the jackpot. If you did, that's... I ain't going to say any more about it. You just do whatever. I remember Dr. Falwell said one time something about money, her own kind of money. He said, devil's had it long enough. Give it to God. That was free. I will remind you about her conversation. Her creed and her condition and her conversation. There was the presuming in her answer. You ever done that?
Oh,
a lot of times I'll presume. And you know, about every time that I do that, I'm wrong. Now, a couple times I've been right, but most of the time, I'm wrong. Well, they don't love me anymore. The camp meeting's different. Or whatever. You know what you're struggling with. The presuming. We presume a lot of things. That was the presuming in her answer. Mary's unbelief kept her from discerning Christ and caused her to dishonor Christ. My question to you this morning, are you discerning Christ or are you dishonoring Christ? The plea in her answer in verse 15, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." And then the promise in her answer. These two things and I'm done. There was the awakening in her conversation. Just with one word. Mary. Just one word from the Lord. Her eyes were opened. And she recognized Christ and believed in the resurrection. Aren't you glad for those one words? We've had two this way. Oh, Lord. I don't know if you've ever cried that, but I've cried it. Oh, Lord. One word, but he called her by name. Now, you may not know me by name, and you may, and I may not know you by name, but there is one that knows me by name. And when he speaks, I listen. Matter of fact, this morning he's a speaking to you. And if I were you, I would listen. Recognize him. Appreciate him. The power of the Word of God is certainly demonstrated in the awakening. You ever going to have revival? It'll be through the Word of God. It'll be through the church. Matter of fact, if you're ever going to have anything from God, it'll be through the Word of God. It's the Word of God that will help us and direct us in the days that we live. It's the guidebook. By the way, I've read the last chapter. It may look like we're not winning, but we're winning. We've already won. Lastly, the awakening in her conversation, the adoration in her conversation. She said, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." You know, sometimes I'm concerned about people's adoration. I mean, where are you at this morning? Do you adore him the most adorable? She said, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Mary honored Christ by calling him Rabboni, the highest title of honors. It means my great master. Wow. Amen. Unbelief called him a gardener. Faith called him Rabboni, the great master. I will remind you this morning that the resurrection made a transformation in Mary and in his disciples from gloom to gladness. And it can do the same for you. It brought them from despair to hope. And it brought them from sorrow to joy. I'm glad for a risen Savior. I'm glad for a real gospel. Don't have to be pumped up, primed up, or propped up. Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected. I believe it. I receive. I preach it. You share it to others. Today, 3 years ago, my dad went to be with the Lord. And Dr. Rod Mattoon was preaching for me that Sunday morning. It was on a Sunday morning. And Jameson called and said, "Dad, you better come. My wife and I were getting ready to go out the door to go to church." Well, I tried to get a hold of Rod. I couldn't get a hold of him, and he went and preached anyway. I missed church that Sunday morning. But I got something that I'll never forget. We got around Dad's bed about 10:30, I think it was, the family that was there, and I was there at the head and got his hand. I was holding his hand, and I was crying and praying, and all the rest of us, they were holding their head. And I said, "Dad," I said, "God will take care of you." And I said, "God's going to take care of us." And, I mean, this is not a fairy tale. It's the truth. I was there. I felt it. Dad hadn't said anything all day, but he squeezed my hand. I felt it. Squeezed my hand. And I was thinking maybe this week, I said, "My Dad would surely enjoy it." Boy, he enjoyed. He loved every one of you. He enjoyed camp meeting. He enjoyed it. Like a lot of our others that have passed from here, they enjoyed it too. I want to tell you, one of these days, sorrow is going to be turned into joy. And we will rejoice. We will rejoice with each other. And most of all with Him. Forever. And what a day that will be.